The Autumn Flower Show, always a treat, always an absolute joy, and as our regular listeners will be aware, when we speak to the show director, Nick Smith, we're always singing the praises of Camilla Harrison, and she's here again. Fantastic, Camilla, as indeed we expect, no less, from Press Office Extraordinaire. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks very much, Alex.
So this is the Autumn Flower Show. This is always the one where I tend to think, oh yes, huge vegetables. But of course there's much more than that. But in terms of the huge vegetables, how have the record breakers been going?
We've had a record number of entries this time, over 200 entries, which is no mean feat given that we had a really awful cold spring beast from the east and then a sizzling summer, which is great when you're in the garden enjoying that. But if you're a giant veg grower, that means lots of work. But they've done a fantastic job. We didn't break any records, but we did have our biggest pumpkin that arrived in the back of a van. It filled the entire van, had to be forklifted out. I think it weighed over 300 kilos, so it was a whopper.
It is phenomenal, because I know one of our other regular slots later on in the year is the Hallow Scream event, and Tom Piercy, the York Maze, often uses forklift trucks to weigh the pumpkins as well. It's almost as though they're genetically engineered. Well, they are genetically engineered, but it's almost as though they're alien life forms.
They are. They make for very unusual viewings. They're not exactly pretty, but then pretty is not what we need for giant veg. We just need big.
And we have moved on slightly from last year's slightly more worrisome carnivorous plants, although they are actually around in the showground, so that's nice to see. And we've gone to that taste of chocolate and a whole variety of other bits and pieces. So how's that theme gone? I mean, it seems to be pretty good so far from what I've seen.
The plants of pleasure theme that we have this time, yes, it's been really popular. I think lots of people, you know, we all take plants for granted. We forget about where they've come from, where they were discovered, how they were discovered. So tea, coffee, we drink it every day. But where did it come from? And how did such a boring camellia become so prized and now the world's favourite drink, tea? We have a wonderful chocolate garden, which I'm hoping you will have a chance to see later on, which is it's great fun because it starts with real flowers and plants that are chocolate coloured, and then it works its way towards a gorgeous centrepiece of real chocolate with an actual chocolate fountain as our water feature.
Extraordinary. I thought somebody was actually trying to break in the back there, but obviously they're just testing the doors. It's wonderful. It's great stuff. Plants of pleasure, of course, that's one thing. Moving on, of course, to other areas, and you mentioned, of course, the history side of things. Very many people will be aware of Capability Brown, but I wasn't aware of somebody who's equally as important when it comes to landscape gardening, whom we're celebrating this year.
Yes, we have a special exhibition celebrating the work of Humphrey Repton. It's the 200th anniversary of his death this year. And Humphrey Repton followed Capability Brown. And one of the things that, again, we all take for granted these days, the term landscape gardener. Everyone uses it. Humphrey Repton was the first person to coin that phrase. But he was in particular very famous for producing what they call a red book. And this was a makeover, as we would talk about it now. He did a before and after sketch for his clients, and that's what made him very famous, because they could visualise what he wanted to do with their gardens.
Extraordinary, yeah. It's almost as though no Humphrey Repton, no Charlie Dimmock, no water features, and possibly even no Martin Fish. Yes, I mentioned them, though, because Martin, you can't keep a good gardening correspondent and show director down. I know Nick Smith is very much the show director and does some fantastic job, but it's nice to see Martin around as well this year.
Yeah, Martin has returned to us as one of our judges. I think he actually came back last year as a judge, but he is on the stage, on the great stage every day, so he's giving talks and also helping to answer gardeners' questions. But he has been around for quite a while. He is a BBC Radio York correspondent.
Of course.
So he does come back. He has been round and about for quite some time.
And from your own point of view, is this your seventh or eighth Autumn Flower Show? I mean, I think we're approaching that. I mean, let's not talk about the mileage of it.
I think it's my eighth.
Well,
yes.
Do you ever get chuckled? Because clearly over those 8 years, you've had the structural changes of the Yorkshire Harrogate Showground. You've had the whole changes of obviously where we're standing now. This hall was actually completely rebuilt and started from that scratch, etc. I've always got a sense of real progress and evolution. What about it from your own perspective? Do you sort of sense, yeah, actually, when we look to where we were a few years ago, where we are now, not that obviously the NEHS was doing fantastic jobs there, but it's kind of continually raised that bar.
I think that's a job for all of us, though. I think whatever area of life you're in particular when you're running something like a flower show, which is a visitor attraction, you need to evolve. You need to keep pace with things. You need something new. We like to make sure that we've got that very traditional horticultural content. That's our strategy. But also, because we want to attract back those very loyal visitors who come year in, year out.
And loyal reporters, of course, as well.
Exactly. But we also want to give them something new, a reason to come back, something to attract new visitors. From a PR perspective, that's great for me because I've always got something new to talk about.
Given that, fantastic as ever, let's give a little plug to the Spring Flower Show. Dates, of course, 25th to 28th of April 2019.
Exactly, yes, we're planning already.
Well, as promised, a location report at the Harrogate Flower Show, whether it's the Spring or the Autumn Flower Show, would be incomplete without the awesome show director extraordinaire who's currently doing duties on coffee as well. It's the fabulous Nick Smith. How are you, Nick?
I'm very well.
Just been chatting to Camilla, and I think so far another huge success. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're really, really pleased. I think the exhibitors have really pulled out all the stops, and there are some fantastic displays, as you'll see when you look around.
Yeah, we're going to have a little wander in a few moments. In fact, tomorrow we have two of our contributors, one of whom is actually paraplegic Minty Steed, who's going to be demonstrating that actually that's the other great thing about the Harrogate Flower Show, that access all areas is permitted no matter what state of situation you happen to be in.
Absolutely. We're very happy to have full access to all areas, level ramps and so on, and a lot of hard standing, which is ideal.
We spoke about the wonderful joys of landscaping, and we spoke about the gardens of pleasure and various other bits and pieces. Now you've had a chance to actually see the thing fit in, bed down, and various other bits and pieces. Sense of pride, I think.
I think so, I think a sense of pride for what the team have achieved here, but again, for what all those exhibitors and all those people who come and don't get paid, you know, all those volunteers that come and create these fantastic daily displays and chrysanthemum displays and specialist society displays, you know, they all come together to create this fantastic, fantastic display, and we're very, very proud to be able to host it.
I was astounded to find that Camilla, not only is she handling press duties, but also is on chocolate fountain duty this time around. Is this another case of ensuring that, yeah, at the end of the day, no complacency, but we like to ensure that we stretch that comfort zone for all of our team?
The chocolate fountain has certainly been a conversation piece, more behind the scenes in terms of keeping it working. But yes, it looks really great in that tempered garden in Hall 1, so we're really enjoying people's reactions to it when they see it.
And have you had a chance to have a wander around? Anything that's caught your eye in terms of, my goodness, that was something which was unexpectedly delightful?
I think generally the spectacle. You know, I think it's been a really difficult year, hasn't it, all the way around. It's been too hot, it's been too cold, it's been all of these things. But the fact that these guys have come out and these girls have come out and created these fantastic displays is an absolute achievement and tribute to them.
And as we are in the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, looking at the various reporting, it suggests that we're going to have a very short autumn and straight into winter. So before we know it, we'll be at the Harrogate Spring Flower Show.
Oh, crikey, don't. It comes around so quickly, though, doesn't it? It's 5 minutes since you were here last. And, you know, but that's great because it keeps us on our toes. It ensures that we've always got something different to think about, something different to look at, and something different to give the public as well.
And that's something which I must admit I do think is very much to your credit and the team's credit, because there is a different aspect. I was talking to Camilla about how over the last 7-8 years there have been changes and adjustments and made, and we've had to deal with political change and all sorts of other areas. But the one certainty is actually the quality that you've got here with the NHS, North of England Horticultural Society, Spring and Autumn Flower Shows, it's maintained, and that's to your credit, Nick.
Well, I think it's to everyone's credit, and I think the fact that this is very much a community effort, because it is everybody gets involved, and that's what we love to see.
Do you go into mini hibernation after this particular event and sort of take a few moments to say, OK, well, I might do a celebrity appearance at Countryside Live, but that's it basically for the moment, and then we'll gear up for the NHS? What's the sort of the Nick Smith activity range?
Well, we do a lot of our charitable work after the autumn show, because then we have the time to do it. So we do a lot of the grant processing and things for sponsorship work and so on. And then as soon as we hit November, we're back into applications for spring. So it really comes around quite quickly.
Well, we've spoken about doing a year in the life of Nick Smith, and that will happen, Nick. I'm sure we'll get it there, whether it's pre-Brexit, post-Brexit. I wouldn't even talk about that, because just step away from the whole sort of system. Because as I was saying to Camilla, if all goes according to plan from that point of view, next year the thing could be apocalypse.
Well, it could be. I mean, we were thinking, I wonder what flower show exit would be. Would that be Flexit?
Nice. Nick, as ever, a delight. We'll catch up with you telephonically and in person, hopefully in the very near future. We've spoken to Nick Smith, we've spoken to Camilla Harrison, and who better to actually launch the series of exhibitor interviews that we're doing than the gentleman behind Mini Cyclamens, Cyclamen Hardys, a whole variety of other bits and pieces, and the wonderful...
Eucalyptus.
Eucalyptus, of course, exactly. Sir, your name, once again, it's eluded my memory.
Graham Idden.
Graham, and from Lancashire, I believe.
That's right, yes.
Of course.
Over the border on the raiding trip.
And doing well. So, Autumn Flower Show, and I gather a success so far for yourself.
It's been very, very busy. Yesterday was exceptional. There were, a lot of really interested customers, lots of nice questions, you know, a lot of really knowledgeable people on plants. It's a great day for a nurseryman to have that atmosphere.
And I suppose it's a two-way street, because obviously it's good to have somebody like yourself who actually understands the joys of eucalyptus and cyclamen as well, because as opposed to just sort of saying, well, I don't know, I just understand.
Well, that's it, yeah. Some people just work on a bicord, don't they? At a show like this, the beauty of it is you've got a wide range of knowledge. You know, come along and ask questions. People love to answer questions. We love to have questions. We like to be put on the spot sometimes, you know, where we have to say, you know, I don't know. Maybe you could go and try Jill over there, or Harry, you know, and he'll be able to answer it for you.
Well, this isn't going to put you on the spot, I'm sure, but can you tell me the difference between the Cyclamen Hardys and the Mini Cyclamens? Are they both sort of hardy perennials, or what's the connection there?
Well, there are very many different types of small cyclamen. There's Hedropholium and Coombe, which they plant under trees, which are really very, very hardy for many, many years. The cyclamen, the Mini cyclamen we have here, have been designed and bred for pots, tubs, hanging baskets, front of a border, more of a sunny position, good down to -8, that type of thing. After that, they need just a little bit of protection. And the larger cyclamen, of course, are just mainly indoors. They're not for outside at all, unless you put them on a patio and bring them in the bad weather.
And if I was to ask, ultimately, if you were given the choice, you can go cyclamen or eucalyptus, where would you go for your own personal favourite?
My personal favourites, I love eucalyptus. It's a brilliant tree. You can coppice it from young and make a beautiful silver bush. It gives you a multitude of silver foliage to cut up flowers and flower arranging. And it's just a beautiful tree in a garden. It's a great history with it. I researched the history, and the Aborigines use it for making soap, for healing, for facial and skin properties. It has a great wide range of medicinal.
Well, in a year where we're just celebrating the 250th anniversary of James Cook's voyage on HM Bark Endeavour, I think the eucalyptus obviously deserves pride of place there.
It was really unusual how many of the public who came around commented on that yesterday. It just shows you there's a lot more knowledge out there than you perceive, isn't there?
Exactly. It's not so much just a plant exhibit, it's a slice of history as well.
Correct.
Graham, where are you heading off to after the Autumn Flower Show? Is it back to the garden to sort out more magical things for next year?
It's back home to plan for next year's spring show. And I'm semi-retired now, so I only do 2 flower shows instead of 17. I packed in Chelsea and all them, and I just do the 2 Harrogate shows because we love these shows and the people who run it are so friendly.
Well, that's the message certainly that's been coming across time and time again. If people are listening to this, fancy getting in touch with you via the internet, do you have one of those websites?
No, I'm not...
computer-based, which is good, actually.
Technophobic. Yeah.
So, in essence, the key thing is if you're listening to this and you're not able to make the autumn flower show, get here for the spring flower show and you can touch base on eucalyptus and cyclamens.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
We've stepped outside of the hall and we're delighted to actually be looking at veg pods, vegetable garden kits, and we're now about to speak to the fabulous...
Neil Urry.
Neil, good to connect with you, good self. I'm probably going to get this completely wrong, but is that a slight Australian tinge I detect?
Yes, VeggiePod is an Australian company, going 9 years strong. We ended up at the Chelsea Flower Show in May, and since then we've been travelling through the country.
And nothing to do with portable on-demand musical things. It's not an iPod, it's a VeggiePod. Just want to put that together. Talk us through what we've actually got here, because it does look as though literally it's everything you need to grow your own veg.
Brilliant leading. Basically, it is a kit that will enable the seasoned gardener to the novice gardener to grow vegetables. Essentially, it's a pod that allows you to retain all water in the bottom. A wicking bed will bring that water up to the compost. You then have a canopy that sits atop your vegetables, which protects it from any bugs, pests, or even the elements. There's also a built-in irrigation system, so you can attach your hose and you can mist from the inside.
So really, it doesn't matter about the size of the garden, because literally, if you just got a backyard, you've got an end terrace house and so on, you could quite comfortably fit this in and it would actually work.
Yeah, we have three convenient sizes. So we have a small variety, which is brilliant for your herbs and your sort of lettuce greens. We then go to our medium one, which you can get a bit more exotic and put some tomato plants and peppers and so forth. And then we have our big monster, which is our large, which you can pretty much grow every type of vegetable. And the good thing about all of them is that they've all got 30 centimetres worth of growing depth.
And we often refer to the Harrogate Autumn Flower Show as being the Chelsea of the North in many ways. How's it comparing for yourself, basically? You've done the London-based thing. You've done the North stuff. It's like sort of Southern Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere. Where do you think things are going? What are your thoughts on the Harrogate Show?
The Harrogate Show has... look, the actual show is beautiful. The people have been amazing. You know, yesterday, even though it was...
Pouring down.
You know, the people were still out smiling, coming along, having fun. So, great show.
There we are. Good positivity from that body. Folk are listening to this possibly in all parts of the country, online and various other zones as well, maybe even back in Australia. How can people get in touch with VeggiePod? Are you easily accessible online if they can't make it to the Harrogate Show?
Yeah, so we're on all the social channels, so Facebook,
Instagram.
Absolutely, LinkedIn, but also www.veggiepod.co.uk.
It's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self. We look forward to seeing you again. Will you be at the Spring Flower Show?
I hope so.
Fantastic. Great stuff. And keep smiling, keep the Veggie Pod going, as the line says, self-watering reservoirs, pest-free and family fun growers. I mean, what's not to love?
Nothing.
Dahlias are always popular and in your face, or in your face even. Not my words, but the words of the fantastic autumn exhibitor at the North England Horticultural's Autumn Flower Show, who is...
Maxine Hall from Halls of Hedden.
And obviously in the northeast, civilising us southerners, basically.
Yes.
Maxine, I'm very impressed with this whole range of things. As you said, dahlia's always in your face. The colour is exceptionally dynamic. You've got literally all colours of the rainbow here.
That's what we try to do, with the exception of blue. We can't get a blue in here.
So talk us through the sort of year in the life of Hedden, dahlia work, etc. Dahlia, of course, and chrysanthemums and so on. Mm-hmm. Is it a case of you're already planning for the 2019 flower shows?
Yeah. We only do one show. This is the only show we do, but we're certainly planning for next year's catalogue and mail order season. For the last year, we've been trialling new varieties, and anything that we think is good enough will go into next year's catalogue. That's already gone to print. So, yes, you're always working for the next season.
And do you have any particular favourites yourself? I know that might be a bit like asking an author to choose their favourite books or various other things. But
I have, actually, this year. This little pink one here, it's so unassuming. It's Franz Kafka. It's a large pom, but it's the right size if you want to do a little bit of flower arranging rather than just grow something great for the exhibition hall.
Of course, NAFAS, the National Association of Floral Arranging Societies, based over the other part of the showground, I suppose these are really the dream flowers in many ways if you're a NAFAS entrant.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're certainly showy. Mm. You can't beat them for colour, for variety as well. The only downside is they don't last long.
A bit like life, really, but let's not get too maudlin on the whole sort of system here. You mentioned, obviously, you were a regular at the Harrogate Flower Shows. Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to have a look around at the rest of the exhibits? What are your thoughts on the 2018 set?
For us?
Yeah, indeed, for the rest of the exhibitors. How do you think it's shaping up?
I think it's a great show. I think there might be a few less here this year than other years, but it's still a great show. And there's no reason why it should fail at all.
It's the Chelsea of the North.
Strength to strength, yeah. There's nothing between here and Dundee. Mm. I mean, the North is short of shows, so it has to grow because there's nowhere else to go.
Well, we've covered this over the last decade and a half, really, and seen it grow from strength to strength. Mm. Obviously, we're standing in a hall which was completely rebuilt, refitted out, and resorted through for that basis. Lots of space here, lots of enjoyability. I think also there's a good vibe about the whole thing. I always sense that.
Yeah, everybody's happy. When you get a crowd outside the stand, yeah, everybody's happy to have a good show. Yeah.
So we were just finding out from our eucalyptus specialist a wee while ago that he doesn't actually have an internet presence. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Is it a case of, with respect to dahlias and chrysanthemums and so on, they have to come and see you at the show, or is there a possibility of reaching you online, Maxine?
Oh, we're online, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And how can they find you?
Yeah, it's www.hallsofhedden.co.uk. Full catalogues there, how to grow them, pictures of the fields, all sorts of things, yeah.
Well, we talked about the awesome Martin Fish with Camilla Harrison, and indeed Nick Smith, his successor in many ways as show director of the North of England Horticultural Society and the Autumn and Spring Flower Shows. Of course, the awesome Martin Fish is just a legend that just carries with it joy and happiness throughout. Martin, good to see you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Such kind words, thank you.
Well, as you know, we always keep it very much to the fore. It's as we do the whole essence of our pieces. This show just seems to get better and better. I mean, you must be very proud with the legacy that actually sort of your own tenure left, because I sense when you were with it as show director, you started the whole sort of thing moving to evolve, to develop, etc., and that's just moved on apace.
Yeah, it has, because I had my time here. I inherited the shows from the previous show director, and because my background's horticulture, that was what I wanted to do, move the horticultural side even further forward. It was still a very good show before, I hasten to add, and I had my time here as 3 years as president, then 5 years as show director, and we introduced lots of things, show gardens and different features, cookery, theatres and more sort of interactive learning, and got more and more exhibitors in. So I like to feel I put my stamp on it and improved it a little bit. I left and have moved on to other things, still involved with the show and come back and do things here, so which is lovely. But it's great to see that Nick's sort of taken the harness and he's brought fresh ideas in, which is what it needs. All shows need that. Every so many years they need people with different ideas and do things differently, and he's got some really good ideas. So yeah, power to his elbow.
Exactly. It's like one of these days, it's like sort of different Doctor Who's. We'll get you all together in one sort of particular area and have a whole time joyous jump of all sorts of things. Of course, it has to be said that no local radio station could wish for a better gardening correspondent than your good self, Martin, and I think it's fair to say that BBC York are darned lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, I love doing my local radio. I mean, this year I do Radio Nottingham as well. So this year's
they're lucky to have you as well.
25th anniversary on Radio Nottingham this year. So I'm it's an honour to work for them.
Of course, Nottingham in the sort of Newark and Notts area, something which the Nottinghamshire County Show never quite managed to grasp, though. I think it's always been, wearing my sort of rural hat, I always felt it was something special. It was just the Newark and Notts Show as opposed to the Nottinghamshire County Show. But that's something we'll debate about with at length, really.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Thoughts on the show this year, Martin? Have you had a chance to wander around and sort out things as yet? General feeling?
I've had a quick wander around. I mean, I was here on Thursday judging, so I was judging in the big hall there, all the nursery stands.
It's terrifying for the competitors, you know, when they actually realise you're on the judging panel. Oh. It's like the Simon Cowell of the whole thing, isn't it? You know, I mean, have you ever been told to say, stop wasting my time with that particular sort of contribution?
No, not at all. No, I'm always very encouraging to them, because I think, you know, the exhibitors are a key part of the show. You've got to be firm, you've got to be fair. There's no point, you know, if things and something's not right, you've got to let them know it's not right. But I very much take the approach when I chair a judging panel, which I do here and other shows. You know, I judge for the RHS at Hampton Court and Chelsea, but I always think we should bring out the positives in them first, and then we look at ways of improving it. So that's the approach I take, and because I know the exhibitors from working at shows for years, they seem to sort of accept me in that role, and it works very well, to be fair.
And as I say, it's all joys. Now, you've got to share with us, as the few smidgens of rain just begin to sort of drop down at present, this wonderful, it's in a carnation buttonhole that you're modelling, etc. Would you like to share with us why you're sort of proudly using this particular thing in your buttonhole area?
I will, yes. It's made from wood. The emblem of the North of England Horticultural Society, you may have noticed on the letterheads and in the catalogues, is a purple four-petal flower. It's actually a periwinkle, a vinca. And the staff here and judges wear a small enamel periwinkle badge, but when I was show director, we used to have the Yorkshire woodcarvers at the show, and when they knew I was leaving, they carved me my very own larger version of the Harrogate flower. So I'm wearing it with pride today.
And rightly so, Martin. It's been a delight and a joy as ever. We'll catch up with you no doubt at the Spring Flower Show, if not beforehand.
I hope so. Thank you.
Well, as I said to Martin Fish a few moments ago, there's just a slight smidgen of just a couple of droplets of rain, a little bit of precipitation in the air. So what better place to actually, when we continue to maintain our gardening qualities there, to actually have some shade and shelter in the sort of gardening world? And what better than the wonderful summer houses of the fantastic GBC company with the all equally fantastic
Caroline Brocklehurst. Thank you very much for that welcome.
Very good. Caroline, share with us this. I mean, I'm looking at the Alton Chatsworth Summer House, which basically looks as though this would be ideal for like almost a miniature radio studio as well, really.
Well, it could well be. We sell quite a few of these buildings. They're perfect for particularly spring and autumn days, where it's perhaps a little bit cooler. You might get a few drops of rain in the air. just nice to sit out in the garden with a cup of tea or a glass of something else, if you prefer.
Precisely. Yeah. And the range that I'm looking at here is quite frankly just astounding, really. I mean, it's nice to see as well, we seem to have moved away from the fashion of African summer houses, etc. It seemed to be very much in vogue a few years ago.
Yeah, we tend to be sort of your more traditional supplier of buildings. We've got about 40 display centres across the country, and we sell a range of buildings from your more standard summer houses, greenhouses, garages, playhouses, as well as there's a big trend at the moment for home offices because people like to work from home, and home studios, things for hobby rooms essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't start talking about gentlemen of a certain age and their shed in the garden because that's it's a different line, different area entirely. Do you have a favourite yourself?
It's
a tough call, really.
Yes. Actually, no, I really like this Alton Victorian greenhouse, actually.
Yeah, I love the almost gothic-esque little trellising that you've actually got on the top as well. That's very impressive.
And also in some of our bigger display centres, we have a bigger building than you've got on display here. What we've got on display here is an 8x6, but it's actually plenty of room for a sofa in some of them. You can do your gardening bits down one side and then you can sit and relax in the sunshine in another.
And are you a regular at the Harrogate flower shows?
It's the first year we've done them. We did both the spring and the autumn show, but I think we'll be back next year.
We miss you in the spring, but obviously we managed to catch up with you today. I was going to say, it would have been a gap of unparalleled regret if we hadn't actually sort of touched base with you so far. Thoughts on the event itself?
No, it's been a really lovely event, actually. Both of them have been nice for us, actually, because I think they're actually keen gardeners that come to this show rather than tourists that you get at other shows, I think, is what we've discovered this year.
I think you're going to mix your both, actually, because we've been covering this with Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting probably for the last 2 decades in many ways. And there are people who certainly know their stuff. But there are also folk who actually realise that, a bit like myself, we just like the kind of whole gardening experience.
I know you're right, yes. But no, it's been a very educational year for us doing the shows. And I think Harrogate, it's probably one of our favourites, actually.
I can almost hear the squeaks of joy from Nick Smith and Camilla Harrison coming out when they're listening to that thing. It's just fantastic stuff. And a name check for your colleague who's been doing fine stuff, who actually said, no, Caroline's much better than I am for this.
That's Adrian Taylor there. He's actually my boss, to be fair.
Well, Adrian, you see, you should give Caroline a raise straight away. I agree. There you go. And for people who actually wish to get in touch with your good self, if they can't get to the show, is there a website? Is there a place that people can find you online?
Yep, it's www.gbcgroup.co.uk. And we see we've got 40 display centres around the country, so come and pop in and see us.
Caroline, it's been an absolute delight. We'll hopefully catch up with you in the spring and maybe actually have a word with Adrian as well.
By all means, yeah.
Just talk us through, wearing your hat as plant heritage soul, some of the plants we've actually lost over the last few years.
It's difficult to say. There are nurserymen who specialise in particular plants, and when they die, their expertise is lost. And very often the nurseries close down, and it is possible to go to these sites and find some of the plants that are no longer in cultivation, but they have just continued growing on the nursery site.
Clearly, we live on a planet which we realise is very much one world, or hopefully we do. I was talking about James Cook, and 250 years ago he set sail with Joseph Banks and started exploring the things from that. Was that a good thing, that actually we started the cataloguing of the plants and the likes of taxonomers or plant botanists such as Joseph Banks actually brought back that sort of knowledge? Does it kind of help in terms of obviously what you're doing now in the 21st century and helping to preserve them?
Well, it certainly does, yes. It's nice to know what is out there. And, of course, we're still discovering new things. And now there is the protocol, which means that plants belong to the nations where they were first discovered. So we don't just come and
take up armfuls of stuff. Exactly. Yes. I'm sorry, native Australians. You'll have to do with that. Then we'll take you back home to Blighty. It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite amongst the range of things that we can look for at this stand? I mean, are there any sort of areas here which you'd like to sort of say, well, that's an interesting one?
Well, yes, we've got quite a few succulents, and they're very popular at the moment. And there are one or two unusual ones. What we do is very often refer to the RHS Plant Finder, which tells you where you can find these things around the country.
And how did you get involved, Richard, yourself with plant heritage?
Well, I've been a gardener for as long as I can remember, over 50 years. So I think my inspiration came from my father because he loved the garden. who was just growing up in that atmosphere.
And is there a secret to green fingers? Obviously, there are folks such as myself who probably would actually consider simply actually maintaining a spider plant being alive for a wee bit of time is a kind of success. Is there a secret to good, successful gardening?
Just the joy of it, really. Everybody will find that when they look around, there is a particular plant that just inspires them to love gardening.
It's been fascinating just sharing some thoughts here. If people are actually keen to actually join plant membership, etc., I mean, looking at some of the lines there in terms of 2017, 22,000 hours given by volunteers, 3,650 members, 34 regional groups. Presumably it's relatively straightforward, no matter which part of the country, this is obviously part of Leeds City Council, to get involved with plant heritage.
That's right, yes. Thank you very much.
Bees, absolutely essential, and indeed without them we would not be here today, I think it's fair to say. I know Minty Steed, who's going to be joining us tomorrow, or will be, I think, doing some location reporting tomorrow with Jackie, was very keen to promote the beekeeping courses that are being coordinated in Middlesbrough. But who better, when we're talking about the importance of bees, than to speak to, from the wonderful Harrogate and Ripon Beekeepers Society Association, the awesome Richard Bond. How are you, Richard?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
Always a pleasure to speak with your good self, Richard, and always impressive to see the range of areas you've got here in terms of how much is connected with bees. I mean, we're standing actually in front of a microscope slide on any aspect of beekeeping, which I wasn't even expecting to see here at the Harrogate Autumn Flower Show.
Well, microscopy is an integral part of beekeeping at a higher level. Apart from disease identification like Nosema and Acarin, and originally the fatal diseases like American foul brood and European foul brood, we can also identify what's in honey by the types of pollen that is in the honey. So we can tell you whether the honey that you bought is as on the label.
One of the things that I know we've spoken about over the years, Richard, has been the fear that actually we've been approaching catastrophic levels of hive collapse and a whole range of other elements when it comes to our insect friends. Are there signs that that's getting better, or is it a case of, well, what do we expect? We're heading towards Brexit, or what's the sort of situation occurring?
Well, it's very encouraging that people are now aware of it, but the real answer is the diversity of what beekeepers call forage. The more flowers for pollinators generally, the better. And if you see just complete green fields, that to pollinators and honeybees in particular is just a green desert, because all of that in there is wind pollinated and has no interface with the insects, whether they be bumblebees, honeybees, solitary bees, wasps, anything you like, just sees that as a green desert.
I'm very impressed when we pass by on the Spring Flower Show, and indeed later on today, I'm sure, for the Autumn Flower Show, by how popular these stands actually are. Is there a clear sign that actually more and more people are taking up not just the challenge, but actually the opportunities provided by beekeeping, and taking it seriously, as we said? I mentioned one of our correspondents, Minty Steed, who's got a colleague who's very keen to push this in Teesside in terms of a genuine, worthwhile activity. Does it fill your heart with joy? Can we see good positivity things coming out of that?
We always encourage people who have an interest in bees to either take up beekeeping by taking a proper course, and I'm quite sure that Tees Bees and the teachers up there, because I'm a member of Cleveland as well.
Splendid. This is a revelation I wasn't expecting today, Richard, but great stuff.
They do a nice course in beekeeping, so does Harrogate and Ripon. We do a long course in the winter. Beekeeping theory is taught in the winter because in the summer we're rather busy with the bees when we do the practical tuition. Now, it's nice that a lot of people have an interest in bees, but some people don't want to keep bees, and that's fine. They can do things for the bees. They can plant bee-friendly or pollinator-friendly, that's even better, pollinator-friendly plants. We sell packets of seed for people and a little instruction of how to create a wildflower meadow. Now, a wildflower meadow doesn't have to be 7 acres. It can be a square meter in your backyard of the poorest soil, because that's what the wildflowers like, and you will find that it will buzz with activity.
Nice pun, like that, buzz with activity, very good. I mean, I'm always tempted to think, wouldn't necessarily want to do adopt a bee, but maybe adopt a hive could be another way forward?
The BBKA actually has an adopt a hive program. So if you go to the BBKA website, bbka.org.uk, you can help support beehives, you can adopt one. All the details are there. It doesn't cost an arm and a leg. You'll get access to the website. It's really something wonderful, especially for kids. The number of children that come around and are fascinated by the bees and would like to do more. And I know in the new year, the BBKA will be trying to launch an interface with schools so that they can become schools members. But that's going to take a bit of while, but it's coming.
Which is great news. Richard, I feel as though we're very much on an upward curve here. I have to mention, of course, the Lincolnshire Beekeepers Association, because obviously our time there with the Lincolnshire show, we're not forgetting them. It's just obviously we're in Harrogate now. So we want to focus more on the north and northeast.
Well, that's fine. My wife, who's a master beekeeper, is going down to talk to them next month and
excellent.
The month after.
Good. It's important, Richard, that we civilise the folk in the south. Sorry, just a kidding. It's,
My wife was brought up in Lincolnshire. You better watch out.
Marvellous. So is she a genuine yellow belly, then?
I think she was born in Sandbach, but that's where she was brought up.
Okay. Richard, it's been fantastic as ever. Hopefully we'll touch base. I would have thought, if not during the winter months, we'll probably speak once again in the spring flower show, all being well.
I look forward to seeing you.
Now, in a few weeks' time, I'll be delivering my what's almost becoming a biannual feature on Wilfred Owen, First World War poet, as part of the remembrance celebrations up at Rockcliffe Hall. But Richard, who's still with us, thank the Lord, has just pointed out the absolutely genuine Gold Award-winning Harrogate flower display that we actually got here, which actually is very much in keeping with remembrance and indeed emancipation, women's rights and more.
Yes, we've decided that as it's 2018, that we ought to do something for remembrance of the First World War. There were a lot of beekeepers, like a lot of everybody in the First World War, and we tried to show the problems that the First World War caused at home as well as the soldiers at the front. For example, all the soldiers left, and at that time agriculture and homekeeping was a very manual task. So we've got the garden on this side, which shows what was left behind, and it's in a bit of a disarray because the poor lass can't use the heavy tools. And on the other side, we've got the trench, which is where her husband is, and she sent all the bee products from the garden to help him out in the trench. We found out by looking at the archives that the British Beekeeping Association and various other associations during the First World War donated honey to the hospital for use in the medication of wounds, as well as a nice food source for the returning troops that were in recuperation. There are very funny stories, tragic stories of people under fire finding beehives and moving them out of the way.
I mean, again, cannot underestimate just how vitally important the whole process has actually been. We'll come around and have a look at the other side of the garden as well from that point of view. You can look at the photographs and images on Facebook as well from that perspective. Again, not just a lot of thought. In case people are wondering, well, that was frightfully sexist of Richard. They might have been well-muscled women in those days. Actually, I've tried myself from that point of view to actually lift some of these heavy tools. And they're not easy.
Well, they're not. And the distress that was caused by war generally still today is recognised, I think, by everybody now. And the one article that we found in the British Beekeepers archives was a call for beekeepers who didn't go to war because they were too old, when the soldiers returned, to teach them beekeeping, especially the wounded ones. It's something that would bring in a little extra money for somebody that served their country and was now not able to return to their previous employment.
Let's hope we never actually do return to these days, but at the same time, one of the best ways to ensure we don't return is to not forget these kind of sacrifices and the huge range. I mean, just looking at some of the things we've got, Farrah's original Harrogate toffee, we've got obviously the Ripon Observer there, we've got a lot of key research points from that point of view, and again, clearly showing the relevance of bees and beekeeping in the 21st century with line there from W. Harrod Hampsall, Secretary of the British Beekeepers Association. The Council of the British Beekeepers Association are anxious to obtain gifts of honey for the wounded soldiers in the London hospital, where it's urgently needed both for food and medicinal purposes.
Yeah, that was 1915.
Again, the huge range of quality exhibitors that you actually get at the Horticultural Flower Show, quite phenomenal. And we have moved on from, obviously, our beekeeping friends to the little soap kitchen with the fabulous...
Jill Forrester.
Jill, good to connect with your good self. It looks as though you've got soap for every day of the week, every occasion. We've got all manner of marvellous soaps here. Share with us a little bit about artisan soap making, please, Jill.
Right. Well, I started artisan soap making about 20 years ago, just doing it for family and friends. And then it got, like every soap maker, a hobby turned into a mad business. And then you're obsessed with it. You eat, sleep, drink soap.
Not literally, hopefully. Otherwise, there'll be bubbles and all sorts of things coming through there.
Not literally, but yeah, it's a bit like that. I spend so much time looking at other people's soaps for ideas. Not that I'd copy anything, but looking for ideas. I do over 20 glycerin soaps and cold processed soaps. They're the olive oil soaps and lots of other little bits and bobs in between.
I mean, I've got to say, I'm always tempted to actually bring one of these back for one of our location reporters in Lincoln, actually. The goldfish in a bag soap and the ducky in a bag soap. Those clearly have to be winners, surely.
Yes, the ducky in the bag soap in particular. The goldfish, they've sunk to the bottom of the soap, so you can't see them. But the ducky sits on the top, so it's great, that one, yeah.
And obviously the goldfish needs to be actually up front from that perspective. And you do, talking about obviously the notion of people's allergies and so on, presumably with it being organic and various other elements within that, we're fairly safe here.
Yeah, I started making soap because my uncle had psoriasis. And we're not allowed to make any medical claims, but it did help with the treatment of his psoriasis. So, yeah, and that went from there, yeah.
And in terms of, say, the other range that you've actually got here, do you have a particular favourite yourself, or is that just a case of, don't be ridiculous, that's like asking an author to choose his favourite writer, his favourite books?
In the soaps, I do like the sandalwood, vanilla and patchouli soap. There's not a lot of patchouli in there, there's more sandalwood. And the gift sets are really popular as well. I also do bath bomb making kits and soap making kits, and lots of artisan bath bombs as well on the end there. Yep.
Well, I mean, again, phenomenal. Do we have, presumably, yeah, obviously you can use soap in showers as well from that point of view, but I'm just blown away. And the stand as well, the Little Soap Kitchen, are you online as well?
We are online, www.thelittlesoapkitchen.com.
So upcoming at Harrogate, at least, we've got Countryside Live, we've got obviously Christmas fairs coming through, etc. Will you be out and about with those, or is it a case of, no, you need to wait for the next spring flower show to see me again?
No, the next time I'm here is the Harrogate Christmas fair down in the town, and then I'll be here again in the spring fair as well, yeah, as always.
Jill, it's been an absolute delight, and keep those soapy bubbles blooming.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And so from soap, we move to the Wish Fairy. It's phenomenal. And we're delighted to speak now to...
April from the Wish Fairy. I'm the fairy keeper who makes all the handmade dresses.
Well, as indeed your partner has actually just said, you are the genius behind all of this thing. So, I mean, clearly we don't have any of my female assistants to actually sort of really lend their own perceptions to this, and I don't want to be gender biased in any way, shape or form, but what we've got here, it does seem as though you've got everything a young princess could actually wish for.
Yes, I think so. My granddaughter, who we call Princess, absolutely loves wearing her Wish Fairy dresses with her wellies. And she's a typical princess, loves dresses, twirly dresses, as she calls them. And all handmade, bodices are all lined, invisible zips and big bows on the back.
Well, sounds ideal. I mean, again, I'm not speaking from any experience here, as I'm sure you appreciate, but in terms of the range that you've actually got there, what inspired you to go into the field in the first place?
Well, I've done sewing since I was 4 years old. Love making my own clothes. And then we got a granddaughter, started making her clothes.
I can't believe you've got a granddaughter. I mean, surely you're only 34, 35.
I wish. No, and she's just started school, but we've been making her clothes since she was a new baby.
And a question you may sort of think I can't possibly answer, but do you have a favourite in terms of the creations you've put together?
Well, my granddaughter's actually called Eve, and we have a dress named after her, which is Eve. I have a dress named after my friend's little granddaughter called Grace, and I also have dresses named after my mum, which we sadly lost a few years ago, called Nancy.
So you can't really choose between them, really.
No, I'm afraid not.
It's an honourable choice. Are there ways in which people can reach you online? Can they reach? Can they make a wish and find the Wish Fairy through their computer screens?
They can. We're www.wishfairy.co.uk. We're Wish Fairy for Kids on Etsy. We're on Instagram and Facebook.
Phenomenal. I probably won't be accessing the site myself, that has to be said, but it's been a joy connecting with your good self today. And are you pretty much a regular at the North of England Horticultural Society autumn and spring flower shows?
This is our first show. It's a fairly new business. We only started doing shows in March. But yes, I hope to be here again next year.
Well, it's going to be good actually meeting up some newbies, because often it's lovely to connect with some of the seasoned pros who have been here year in, year out. But it's nice when we actually catch newbies like yourself who are actually sort of just exploring the whole field. And has it been good for you so far?
It has, yes. Met some lovely people. The show is absolutely amazing. The flowers are stunning. And we've had a good look round when it's not open, and it's lovely because we don't get much chance.
It's exhibitor's privilege, you see. Yes. That's the important thing. And have been inspired by any of the floral decorations for future Wish Fairy costumes?
There is. I mean, I do flower fairy dresses and things like that, which obviously we think of flowers fairies as in the garden and things. So, yes, definitely. Poppies are one of my big favourites.
Well, it's been a genuine pleasure. I'm sure we'll get some of our female presenters to actually do various things with you in the near future. But for the moment, many thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.
Whether it's show director Nick Smith, former show director, and indeed a local celebrity, Martin Fish, clearly the one gentleman that you need to have any effective show for it to actually have any street credibility whatsoever is the man from Blueberry Hill Preserves, the awesome
Rob Clayton, yet again.
Yay, exactly, Rob. We were just sharing the mutual sadness we felt that due to those hurricane-like conditions in Saltburn, tragically, people who were keen to actually say, what's Rob going to be doing at the Saltburn International Food Festival this year? Couldn't take place.
Couldn't take place. It was a disastrous weekend, wasn't it? After all the lovely weather we've had this year, and one of the highlights of the year for traders and customers alike, it was just a real shame. I mean, and Lorna and the team worked really hard to try and do the best they could, and they ran a smaller event for people with perishable items, which is fair enough. It was just a disappointment, but we'll be back again next year, I'm sure.
And, of course, the great news about the NEHS Autumn Flower Show, and the Spring Flower Show, is you're indoors. Yay!
It makes a big difference. And we had a bit of rain yesterday as well, which drove a few people inside, shall we say. But always a nice event, the Flower Show. It's always really meticulously organised with lovely people and great customers that come back year in, year out. So, yeah, we've had a good first day, so we're looking forward to the weekend.
Well, as I said, when those comments were being made by a newbie that we were speaking with a few moments ago, I can almost hear the audible yelps of joy from Nick Smith and Miller Harrison and the show team saying, yay, results, you know. But that's a crucial thing, because if the man from Blueberry Hill Preserve says yes, it's like the man from Del Monte. It's all good.
It's all you're absolutely right, it is all good. And it's a quiet start today, a little bit drizzly outside, but there's lots of great things for people to see here. It's a great attraction, so I'd encourage anybody to come round if they've got a spare few hours.
Once again, Rob, the range that you've actually got here, quite awesome. I mean, just reading upside down here, we've got the notion of orange marmalade, blackcurrant and slow gin. I know that'd be a favourite with Sue Royce. It's just everything you could possibly wish for, really. And, I mean, any three items for £10? That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I'm feeling the pinch at the moment. He might have to go up for Christmas, so get in early. That's what I say.
I might well take advantage of that offer myself, actually.
You're more than welcome.
Exactly. Heading towards the Christmas fair, of course, and I know I can't believe it. Here we are, it's September, and yet already we're thinking about Countryside Live, we're thinking about the Lincolnshire Food and Gift Fair. Are these items that you'd be on your itinerary where people can actually see the man from Blueberry Hill Preserves?
Yeah, we've got a lot of activity coming up. We have a little bit of a lull in October. We try and take a couple of days off in October to recharge the batteries and restock everything again. Once we get to early November, we've got a couple of big events early November, the two Living North events, York and Newcastle, and then all the big Christmas markets. So our two biggest ones are York at Christmas, which starts on the 15th of November, and then Chatsworth House, which also starts on the 16th of November, I think, which are long sessions. with a few others in between. Lincoln Food and Gift, like you've said. Ripon Cathedral. Beverley Food Festival is in a couple of weeks' time. Beverley Christmas Festival. And a few others as well as sites.
I must also introduce you to the executive chef at Rockcliffe Hall, Aaron Craig, who I know this is a special revelation reveal for yourself, Rob. I think early next year they'll be hosting a food festival at Steve Gibson's very own area. So I think that might be one for Blueberry as well.
That sounds really exciting. And we'll look forward to hearing about it.
Excellent. We'll spread the word.
Thank you very much indeed. Very kind. Have a good day.
Well, just as we were thinking that when you've got legends like Martin Fish and Rob, of course, with his preserves and other folk on their campus, who do we actually encounter but the awesome creator, I say that again, creator of Mason's Dry Yorkshire Gin, the fantastic, amazingly talented, superb individual who is?
Kathy Mason, hello.
What would you say is the most important aspect of Mason's Dry Yorkshire Gin?
Probably the way we make our gin. It's incredibly smooth. We distill in small batches, so the recipe, we use less of the recipe than other people do, so our gin is actually smoother because we use a pure heart of our gin.
Well, I know Sue Royce is still consistently reminding me that we did talk about doing a location report with you in the not-too-distant future. Hopefully, that'll probably be 2019, but is the offer still on?
Yes, please come and see us. That would be lovely.
And you seem to be doing a single duty yourself. I mean, not only do you create the company, but you also sort of look after the rest of the bits and pieces as well. How has the Autumn Flower Show been for Mason so far?
Yeah, it has been really nice. I wasn't here yesterday. We did have somebody else here for us, but it was a busy day. I'm hoping today's going to warm up and get a bit busier. It's a bit chilly, isn't it?
But then again, what better way to actually enjoy the delights of Mason's Dry Yorkshire Gins, lavender tea, or indeed original editions?
What's the way to drink them?
No, what's the better way, when it's a little bit inclement outside, to actually just keep you warm as well?
Yeah, that's right. It keeps you warm and keeps you cool, gin. It's perfect in every weather.
Exactly. I love the actual routine. I mean, I must admit, I think if anything, it's equal in terms of quality of stand that you've actually set up. But roughly how long does it take you to set up a stand like this?
I think yesterday it took them about an hour to unload and build. It's not long. Once you get used to it, you can do it quite quickly.
And do you get a chance to look at some of the other exhibits and places around here?
Yeah, I've had a quick look round. I have got somebody else coming in to help me out when it gets busier later, so I'm going to nip off and have another look again.
And presumably you're already planning for 2019 and the places that Mason's will be as well?
That's right. I think we've probably got half our events booked in already, and the rest we're booking in January. Again, we hope for another busy year. Marketing our gin, letting everybody try it.
But as we've said, when you've got the quality that's as good as Mason's gin, you don't have to worry too much because it speaks for itself. Together with your good self, of course, it's a win-win situation.
We hope so, but we'd never rest on our laurels. We always want new people to try it that haven't tried it before, so we'll always attend the shows.